Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sam Legasek.
And I'm Dreadful Dan Gallagher. And we're two old buddies that have lived our life at the edge of the mainstream.
So come join us where things are a little odd.
This is the
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned-out cinder.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Oddcast Movies, Music, and Gaming. And today, we're going to be going, this is our minisode, basically, we're going to be talking about stuff that we've done in the last week. One bit of news is that last week we said that Harry Cloud was going to join us for this week's episode. He's actually been, unfortunately, taken ill. So instead, we're going to change it up a little bit. And recently, I finished Jedi Fallen Order, Star Wars game. So we're going to be talking about that. So yeah, Dan, what did Harry say? What's he sick with?
It's just a bit poorly, but we wish him well. Maybe he was out on the tiles. It's Thanksgiving today, isn't it? In the States.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know what the tradition is, but if it's anything like Christmas here, you get trolleyed the night before.
That's true as well. well, you know, every cloud. So what have you been doing? What have you been doing the last week?
I continued watching X-Files episodes.
Yes. So I'm enjoying these little X-Files updates.
I'm going to update you on like whatever the latest one is that I've seen. And I've reached a milestone because I just watched the last episode of season 5,
right,
which is called The End.
Right.
Then obviously it went on to the film at that point. Okay. So this was like the cliffhanger for the movie, and then also, you know, things changed a lot, I think, season 6, didn't they, after the movie?
Yeah. Well, didn't Duchovny leave? I know, he definitely left later. At some point, but yeah.
I think that's later.
Was it the one that was called Fight the Future?
Yes.
Right, with the bees. The only bit I remember is the scene with the bees. That was basically the only bit of action in the entire, like, 2-hour film, if I remember rightly.
I'm trying to remember as well, but I remember being a bit disappointed with it and that it seemed really confusing and seemed to retcon some ideas and concepts. It brought some things back, like the bees, which was good. Mm. But anyway, let's not talk about that because I haven't watched that.
Okay.
But I've watched this episode and it's the one where they introduce this boy called Gibson, who's like a chess prodigy.
Gibson, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you remember him?
I vaguely remember him.
And there's this line in it where they're like, he could be the key to everything in the X-Files. And you're like, wow, that's exciting and dramatic. And you're like, what does that mean? It's a completely meaningless statement. And they used it to market the episode as well. And it's like, he's not going to be the answer to every, he's not going to be the answer to what's the Jersey Devil or yeah. what's that fucking space face thing that came out of the out of the moon. So yeah, there's some clunky writing in there, and it does feel like a transitional thing. Like, it's not that satisfying. Exciting things happen and it progresses some ideas, but it's not that great as an episode. And it introduced that character, Diana, I think she's called.
Yeah, she becomes a big deal later on.
Yeah, she's like Mulder's old flame or something. And you kind of look, and you're like, she looks a bit old.
Well, she is old. She's the one that went out with, as in the actual actress, I can't remember her name. She's famous. She went out with Tom Cruise during his period of celibacy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I always remember her for. Is that
Mimi Rogers?
Mimi Rogers. But yeah, she was like, you know, a bit of a hot thing. But yeah, by that point, she was already a little bit. She was a little bit older back then. She's like a little bit old there. God knows, I don't know what she looks like now. But yeah, that's what I remember her for. I think it's her anyway.
So that was, I watched a few films.
Yeah, what'd you watch?
I watched Rawhead Rex.
God, I don't have you heard of that? No.
It's one of those films that I remember seeing in the video shop and always wanting to watch.
Right.
It's like a mid-80s horror film, you know, with everything that entails, you know. It's a little bit cheesy, but there's some good effects, some bad effects.
Yeah.
It was good. I mean, it was bad, but I enjoyed it. It's written by Clive Barker.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How nice of fame.
Yeah, set in Ireland.
Right.
So already it's like rural Ireland, and it's all like about the church, and you think, oh, like a demon's probably been raised or something. And then the first time you see the monster, Rawhead, it's like, Jesus Christ, it's so incongruous. There's all these like old farmhouses and like toothless peasants and things.
Yeah.
And it looks like something from Masters of the Universe, like a transdimensional alien warrior.
Yeah.
It just looks really, really strange. Yeah, it was funny. It was kind of awful. It had that really cheesy ending of like, it's dead. And then like just a scene later, it like popped out of a grave. Dun, dun, dun.
Jesus.
I read Clive Barker was disappointed because he said the design of the monster explicitly was supposed to be a 9-foot phallus.
Right.
And it's kind of killed. It's killed by female fertility because it's kind of meant to be like an old like pagan god or something.
Okay.
So they kill it. It's great. The guy's trying to use this like amulet thing that looks like a pagan woman, old model thing.
Right.
And then his wife picks it up and suddenly it's like, becomes so like glowing and there's all these like rays shooting everywhere. And he's like, it had to be a woman.
Had to be you. Right. A woman.
And they were horrible. They were both really ugly, like central couple. And they kept flaunting their like sexual aspect of their relationship in quite an awkward way. So. That's not sexy. That's just really gross.
Lovely. How old were they? Is that interesting?
Like 45.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Entertaining film, but quite bad film.
Right.
And then I watched another one. Tourist Trap. You heard of that?
No, I don't think so. It does sound vaguely familiar, but
it's a late 70s... pretty much a Chainsaw Massacre kind of ripoff.
No.
It was kind of cool. What was strange about it was that, you know, it's got like the teenagers go to, you know, car breaks down, all that rubbish. But basically, like, whoever's doing the killing they're not just like a psychopath. They actually have some supernatural powers.
Right.
So that was quite an unusual angle, I thought. They had telekinetic powers.
Right.
Because you're like, how are they doing all this? Has he like rigged the house to... There's all these like mannequins and models. It's very creepy. And then it was revealed later, no, he can just move stuff around with his power of thought. there's this great bit where like one of the teenagers is like chained up and he drops some keys and he's just like, while the guy's distracted, he's like inching to grab them. Mm. Like he's going to get them. And then slowly, they just get moved slowly, slowly out of his reach.
That's good. That is really good.
Quite good. But you're kind of like, they can't really, it kind of removes a bit of the dramatic tension, right? Because you're like, this guy can just do whatever anything. He wants.
Yeah, it's a problem, isn't it? That's like with every like Superman thing or whatever. It's like, well, there's no like, what's the point when you're just like completely invulnerable to everything? It's ridiculous.
That's why people say Hulk Hogan was so good, actually. Because despite being larger than life, he showed a lot of vulnerability in his matches. He knew how to sell.
Hollywood Hulk.
I'd recommend watching it, actually. I think you might enjoy it.
Yeah, it sounds like something I'd like.
Just from horror. It's not great, but I think just from a perspective of analysing it.
Mm.
Interesting. And the last thing I want to show you.
Yeah.
Put this on the desk. I am a little Hulk Hogan sort of segue. In 1992.
Yes. Where's this going?
I collected the complete set of all the Gold Series WWF collector cards.
Right.
That came out around the time of SummerSlam. And I've had them in a box. And I bought a binder on eBay.
Oh, one of those card binders. I love those.
Yeah, can you see that?
Yeah, I can, yeah.
Put them all in here.
That's great. We did that for so many. What was the one? We did loads. We did random.
X-Files.
Like, we did X-Files, yeah. We did like Mars Attacks or something as well, didn't we?
Yeah.
Because we were like, what's cheap? I think Mars Attacks had just come out. That's really good. Fucking hell, mate. They're pretty pristine.
I found these as well. I had a load of Turtles ones.
That's a good one.
From 1990.
Fucking hell, mate. They're probably worth a little bit now.
Yeah, I had a look because there's three I haven't got. So I joined a UK Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles buy, sell and trade group on Facebook.
Because
I've got a stack of spares as well. And I thought someone will want to just like trade maybe the three that I don't have.
Yeah.
And but to join it, you have to answer who's your favourite turtle? And then you have to answer this question. What's it say? If the turtles rule, then the foot... ... And I don't know. Well, so they won't let me join the fucking group.
Well, the foot is what his henchman was called, Shredder's henchman.
Yeah.
And I remember that.
If the turtles rule, then the foot are fools? I don't know. It's like a quote from something, I guess. But so, yeah, that's if anyone's crazy. Listening, they're a Turtles fan. If you know the answer, can you let me know?
If the turtles rule, the foot drool.
Fool? It annoys me because it's like, get the idea of being part of the group.
Can't you just say...
I don't know.
Just go in and go, I've got some cards, just let me in, for fuck's sake. Why this gatekeeping on your precious fucking turtle shit?
It's stupid, right? Because I'm a person who isn't that into turtles and I've got some old 1990 turtle stuff and I'd rather give it to you guys than put it on eBay.
Yeah, and you're not letting me do it. There was that, that's so fucking shit, isn't it? Like, yeah, I sent you that thing this week where it was like on Reddit, which made me laugh, which was the, some guy said.
That was good.
He put up on the Nirvana Reddit. I've got on Reddit quite a lot these days, actually. Probably not the best place to be. But Nirvana posted something like, I've just learned how to play guitar and I want to like do my own songs, but I want to use Drain You chords. Drain You being the Nirvana song, by the way, because people don't know. I want to use the Drain You chords. What sequence do you recommend I do it without ripping it off or whatever? And I went, I just replied, what a strange question. And he was like, what an unhelpful answer, you fucking rude git, or something like that. And then I wrote back and gave like a massive long answer as to like what he could do and songwriting and trying to like answer this ridiculous question for him. And he was like, oh, thanks a lot. As I said, I've only just started to learn guitar. It's like, fucking, what a dick.
But you signed off, didn't you?
I signed off yours.
A rude git.
Yeah, unhelpful rude git. He's like,
he didn't
nice.
Apologise, did he?
No, he didn't apologise.
Oh, sorry.
I was just like, it's just so fucking, I just hate the internet. I really do hate it. everything about it. And that's why we're streaming stuff on Twitch. So
what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? I've completed Jedi Order, hence why we're going to be talking about it. I watched a couple of films. I watched Dark Water, not the... actually, I don't even know if it's actually called Dark Water. I've written it down like that. I think it is. But not the Japanese horror film or the remake thereof. It was the Mark Ruffalo film that came out last year about... people in America will probably know more about it than we will. I had only heard little bits and pieces about it, but basically there'd been a town in wherever in America, and they'd been putting like the shit they make like Teflon out of and just running it into like the local water supply. And everyone was just like getting sick and dying and having like fucked up babies and stuff. It's a true story. And this guy was like, for like 15 years or something, just trying to like battle it. And it's basically that kind of, that story. It's like 2 hours, 20 minutes or something. It's quite long. But it was good. But it's one of those films where you're just like, that's really fucked up. And I'm glad I know about it. But at the same time, I was like, well, it's just that thing of like, it's just stuff happening. You know, it's like, oh, okay, that's interesting. I think
drawn into the like the fights of the little man versus America.
That's how they kind of frame it, right? And they spend a lot of time on the build up, but there's just not really much of a payoff. So it jumps forward a lot in time, quite a fair bit. And basically, and spoiler if you're going to watch it, even though it's true, it's in the news and it happened. But towards the end, basically, he's able to make them say, "Okay, if you get enough data on the residents or whatever." And it's proof that it's been harmful, then we will cover their fucking medical expenses, but like forever or whatever, up to like, I don't know, like a $200 million or whatever, some number. And so anyway, like they fight for this for so long and so many people turned up because they were given like $500 just to give like some blood or whatever to do some tests. So many people turned up. It took like 10 years or something, not that long, but it did take like 5 years or something to go through all the data. And they're like, oh, we've just got, this is the biggest anthropomorphic, whatever it's called. I don't know what that word is. It's going to really...
Anthropological,
whatever, yeah. Survey that has ever been tested on the human race or something stupid. it's like 64,000 people or whatever. And they were like, yeah, and it looks like it does actually have a harmful effect. So he's like, yes, I've won. I've done it. I've done it for these people. And then it's starting to come to the end and he goes out for like a meal to celebrate. And then they call him up and they're like, oh, yeah, the company's like backtracking and all this stuff and XYZ. And he's like, you know, I can't believe it. I've got to this point and they're still trying to like fuck me over and fuck these people over. Obviously not swearing. And it's like, oh, and you're like thinking, oh, okay, here we go. And then it's like, it gets into the court and you're like, okay, it's going to be the court battle. And he basically stands up and says something. And then the rest of it is credits. The rest of it is just like, for the next 5 years, Thingy was able to appeal this, and got X million dollars and it was settled out of court and whatever. And I'm like, but that's the interesting stuff. Like, so he won. Why have you ended it like that? Like this big, like, oh, I failed. And then it's like, you know, like in the original animated Lord of the Rings where it just ends because they ran out of money.
I've not seen it.
You've not seen the original animated Lord of the Rings?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
No, and I haven't seen The Lord of the Rings either.
Oh,
by
Peter Jackson.
What's his name? Yeah. I've seen his best work though. I've seen Braindead and Bad Taste.
You'd like it. Like, okay, well hold on. There's a lot. There's three things going on here. Firstly, Lord of the Rings, the animated one, which I'm very surprised you've never seen because it is visually incredible. It's all animated.
Yeah.
And what happened is they were going to do the whole of Lord of the Rings. It's where like the whole like the ring wraiths and all this stuff, all that style, all that visual shit that happened in the films, even though you've not seen them, you're probably aware of it.
Ring wraiths.
Oh, shut up, you know.
I honestly don't know.
A trailer or something. You're aware of what they... Well, anyway, it comes...
Ringwraith sounds like a sequel to Human Centipede.
Fucking hell, Dan. It's awful. The Ringwraith, the base... Right, whatever. It was all taken... A lot of Peter Jackson stuff, especially in the first one, Fellowship. Have you read the books?
No.
Books are good, actually. No, they go... It gets a little bit too into the detail of what... like the hills of blah blah valley look like classic Tolkien shit. Anyway, the original animated Lord of the Rings, right, which influenced Peter Jackson's one as well in terms of like even some scenes are exactly the same. The animated one, which was made in the fucking 70s or whatever, they ran out of money. So they tried to do the first book, Fellowship. They got about near the end or whatever, halfway through. They were going to do all three books, three films, whatever. And they ran out of money. So halfway through, it just kind of ends with this like big battle kind of starting, and then it just like cuts and that's it. It just kind of ends. So it's quite funny. So hence, it's a very abrupt ending.
Yeah.
That's what made me think of Dark Water, because in Dark Water, it just ends. It just ended with that little thing of like, he won all these cases. And you're like, why the fuck didn't I see that? Why are you showing me all this shit beforehand? And now it's like, oh, we've run out of time, actually. Or like, we don't want it to go any further than like 2 hours. That was really annoying, but it was quite interesting. And you should watch the Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings shit anyway. The first one, Fellowship of the Ring, was really good because it was real. Then he was basically like, you know what? I can do a lot of this stuff.
I think it was real.
As in like, he used practical effects. And then...
Right. I was going to say, you know, it didn't really happen.
Yeah, Middle Earth.
Historical period drama, Lord of the Rings.
You don't know. There's a fantasy out there. There's a universe out there, a parallel dimension where all this stuff actually happened. He basically turned around and was like, I can do a lot of this stuff, you know, with old CG now. I don't have to do it practically. And then he just went off on one. Fellowship, what the first one is the best one. I think you'd actually like that a lot.
Okay.
His kind of visual style, especially in like, yeah, Braindead and all this.
Yeah.
All that horror stuff, he pulls into Fellowship. So when you're actually watching Fellowship, there's some elements where you're like, this is like horror film stuff, but people don't realise it. It's good. You should watch it. I can't believe it's about Lord of the Rings, about a million years old. God fucking hell. Anyway, so I watched Dark Water at the end of all that. It was all right. It was okay. If you don't know anything about that water story of how like these companies affect people, one thing it did end on actually, which I'll just quickly say, is comes up with this stat and it said 99% of the human race have traces of this shit in their body. It has infiltrated the water supply to such a degree that 99% of humans have this fucking Teflon shit in their body in some way, shape or form. And I was like, what? Like, and then apparently there's like 300 what are called like forever blah blahs or whatever that are unregulated that are put into like our drinking supply and stuff. That we just don't know anything about. Anyway, it sounds like
outrageous
conspiracy bullshit. But it was at the end of this film, so I was like, that's interesting. But now after you've just seen it,
I've
like,
heard that. I've heard that before. It's ringing a bell.
Yeah,
I think my dad said something about it. He was outraged.
Yeah, it's awful. It's really bad. That's the ones we know about. 1210 to Paris, I think it's called. Have you seen this? Clint Eastwood film. Know about this?
I haven't. No.
So it was. It's based on the real life event of when a train going from Berlin to Paris or whatever, a terrorist got on board and was going to blow the train up, but he was stopped by three American guys, two of which were like soldiers, actually not ex-soldiers. They were on a break, on leave. And they tackled the guy and stopped him, right? So it's a true story. I remember it. I don't know if you remember it. It was in the papers. There was a whole thing about it. Clint Eastwood has done the film of it, right? And what he's done is he's cast the three actual people who did it as the actors. What do you think about that, firstly?
He's cast them as themselves?
Yes.
Impressed, I suppose, my initial... but now I'm increasingly thinking, oh, that could go wrong. That could go quite wrong.
Yeah, and it
three
does, it
untrained,
does
unprofessionals on set.
It goes really wrong. To be fair, the main guy in it, this bald guy... is the best out of the three, thank God, because the other two are just awful. But everything's just like stilted. Everything's horrible. Like, obviously, they just have no sense of what it is to be an actor. But the bald guy does do the best that he can. And I didn't think he was as bad as what I thought he might be. But he was, so they're in that. And it's quite... Because they give basically, they build up each of their like lives to that point. And it's like, okay, but they intercut it with what's happening on the train. So, it kind of jumps to and fro. And I quite liked it, but it got to the point when it actually got to the bit where they're like apprehending the terrorist, that stuff was pretty good. Like it was actually like, there was like a sense of like actual urgency. And obviously they've been like throughout the stuff, they're like hinting at what's like, he does like, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and he was using, they talk about him trying to learn the chokehold, which he uses on the terrorist later on with all this bullshit. But there's bits where he's like, the terrorist like had a knife and he's like stabbing the guy at the back of the head, like trying to like hurt him, get him off him. And he had like a fucking AK and all this stuff. And he shot a guy and all this. And it's pretty brutal. And so that final, I want to say like 20 minutes, I was like, okay, this has actually been slightly worth it. It got absolutely like slammed by critics and stuff for good reason, to be fair. But I didn't think it was as bad as I thought it would be. And what is weird is that when they do the end bit and they've got the Prime Minister of France, whoever it was at that time, not Macron, but whoever it was, and they show the footage, they intercut footage they filmed.
Yeah.
With the actual news footage of them getting like commended. And that was weird because then you realize it suddenly like clicks into place. We were like, oh yeah, of course they actually did it. Like that's actually them getting an award for what they did. It's really strange, but
intriguing.
Yeah. It's a strange idea. I don't think it worked, but whatever. And then what else have I done? I listened to Melvin Stagg, obviously for what was going to be this episode. And
save your thoughts.
Save it, I don't know anything about that. And I played a little bit of Battlefield 5, which is a war game. I think this one's set in World War II, though I get so confused about what's set where these days. And I just realised as I was playing it, I was like, I'm so bored of doing like the stealthy, like when it's like, make your way to this place. Shh. I'm like, I just want to fucking shoot stuff.
Yeah.
Run, shoot some things. It's fine. I don't care. I've just been like legging it across maps, like just shooting people. And I was just like, I don't want to play this. Like, I'm bored. And I think that's why I quite like the Call of Duty ones better. Because I know it's like quite cheesy to say, and it's like, you know, like teenage boys' wet dream kind of stuff. But the fact of the matter is, it's like, this is trying to get you into situations where you, and it has like stealth sections or whatever, but it doesn't try to be so open. And I think that's my problem sometimes with like Battlefield and with a lot of open games, is that it's just too open. Like I was listening to these guys talk about Metal Gear Solid 2 and saying how, you know, the runtime's like whatever it is, like 10, 12 hours or something. And all this stuff happens. And I'm like, yeah, it's so tight. Like it's so considered and everything, and beat by beat, you know, a lot of these games, especially at that point, they were long, but not too long. And you felt like there was a lot like packed into that time. Whereas a lot of this stuff with the open world games these days, I'm just like faffing around, everything's spread out. So look at these massive worlds that you're kind of riding and going across and doing all these missions, and you can choose your own adventure kind of thing. Like you can do whatever you want and go do a side mission or go do this and go do that and do what you feel like. And for a lot of the time, I'm just like, can't be bothered. Just give me like, you tell me what I should be doing. Like, if you're the game director, just point me in the way I have to go and I'll just do it, because that's what I want, the best experience. I don't want to always decide things for myself. And I don't know, that's what I feel like with Battlefield. So I started playing it and I was like, I might just not play it. I can't be bothered.
Freedom of choice is what you got. Freedom from choice is what you want.
That's true. That's a bit of Devo.
Wise words.
So that's all I did. So I guess that's it for the minisode today.
Well, I watched something else. When you were talking about Dark Waters, it reminded me. I thought it was really cool that you'd enjoy. An episode of Storyville that just happened to be on.
Okay, which one?
I like Storyville. Mm. It's always good quality, kind of compelling documentaries about all kinds of things, right?
Yeah.
This was about, I'd never heard of it, a plane jacking that occurred in Portland. Mm. And the guy got on the plane under the name D.B. Cooper.
Okay.
Well, so he's like Peaks. A folk legend. Yeah, that's what I kept thinking. Cooper.
Oh, I think I know this. I think I've heard this story. Go on.
Well, he successfully got I'd have asked for more money. He got $200,000. He went on with two sticks of dynamite and a bomb and basically said, yeah, I want $200,000 waiting for me at such and such airport. And he plane landed, let all the people off, got his money, and then carry on flying. We're going down to Mexico. And at some point, he just jumped out with a parachute with all the money. And they've never been able to solve it. And a few years ago, the FBI formally closed the case and as unsolved.
Brilliant.
But it looked at the kind of like, there's four main suspects.
Yeah.
And it kind of looks at the case for each of them. Whilst interjecting those into the story of how the hijacking took place. Mm. So that was quite a cool way of doing it.
Yeah, I think I heard that from, Stuff You Should Know podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was from that. But yeah, I don't know any of the specific stuff, just that vague, weird story that, yeah, this guy just actually disappeared and with this money. And they don't even know how he did it or whatever.
No, they don't. But what's cool is that they spoke to this guy who wrote a book about it, who actually managed to get access to the FBI archives. Mm. And he said he went in there and he was like, you know, no disrespect to them, but I kind of thought, this is it. I'm going to find the piece of evidence that cracks this case because I'm willing to dedicate all my time to this. And he said he opened up all the files and he was just like, oh, crap. Mm. There's just like thousands and thousands of pieces of evidence from people that have claimed to be D.B. Cooper.
Brilliant.
And he was like, there's just too much of like a deluge of false accusations and false leads. And he became like a folk hero to a lot of people because apparently at the time, I think a lot of people had been made unemployed in Portland. Right. And they've got like interviews, like archive interviews from the news of like these guys just kind of going, yeah, he went in, he did what he got to do, and he, you know, and I respect the man. So,
it reminds me of, oh God, what was it? I was going to say, I don't know, forget it. I've lost my train of thought. What were we talking about? The fact that he got on the plane with money disappeared.
Got on a plane with a bomb, stole the money. Got the ransom.
Oh, that was it. I was going to say, it reminds me of, because recently, that serial killer died. What was his name? Killer, or whatever. Anyway, fine. One of our, like...
Not the Yorkshire pasty killer.
Yes, the Yorkshire Ripper.
That one.
He died, and they were like, they had interviewed, like the police had interviewed him like 4 or 5 times. They had like his car number plate and all this stuff. And because there was no computers or anything to process all this stuff, it was just papers, and the police just didn't know what to do. And apparently they had to, in the local police station, wherever it was, they had to get builders in to reinforce the floor of the police station because they had so many boxes full of paper just sitting in a room, and they just couldn't organize it. Like that, they just literally did not have sufficient people, resources or system that could go through his information. So that's why this guy was left to just fucking keep killing, even though he was getting interviewed and doing whatever. Terrible. Just because there was nothing in place. And yeah, I think there was a judge who said that the police just done fucked up basically for that. He's dead.
This guy, they had the cigarette butts because he smoked some ciggies on the plane.
Oh, really?
And so now they're like, DNA. Well, we can DNA test. They've gone missing. So that's suspicious, isn't it?
Brilliant. It was
James. And the fingerprints as well. Fingerprints have gone missing. They dusted for his fingerprints and they've gone missing.
Oh, someone knows what they're doing.
Dun, dun, dun.
Cool. That was interesting, actually. Okay, fine. We'll wrap up this minisode and then we'll go into our talk on Jedi Fallen Order. Hey guys, thank you for listening to Oddcast Movies, Music and Gaming. If you want to get in touch with us or get a movie, album or game put on our list to discuss, then email us at oddcastoddballs@gmail.com or anewwinterpodcast@gmail.com. This is part of a New Winter Podcast Network, so head on over to anewwinter.net to check out our other shows. You can also follow us on Instagram @anewwinter, Twitter @anewwinter, and you can head on over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/anewwinter. Thanks for listening and see you again soon.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.